Hello, hello! Welcome to another episode of Football Twaddle, and it has been an amazing week as always to discuss the week. I have Kumar Khanna with me. What's
hello.
Up, Kumar? So just to quickly round off the scores, Chelsea beat Newcastle 3-1, Stoke 2-1 against Swansea, Liverpool thrashing Brighton 5-1, Watford Tottenham like 1 also. That Tottenham is still 6th in the table now.
Yeah.
Or have they moved to 7th now?
No, I think they're 6th.
And West Brom, Crystal Palace have a draw. Everton beat Huddersfield to move to 10th on 2-0. Leicester beat Burnley. They're on 9th or 8th, I think, now. And then on Sunday, we had Bournemouth, Southampton 1-1 and Man City again scoring a late goal, beating West Ham 2-1. And there is a specific reason I didn't mention one game yet, because probably this three-fourths of this podcast is going to be about
that one game.
That one game. And that is Arsenal 1, Manchester United 3. Before we even get into anything, your feelings right now. And if anyone doesn't know, Kumar Khanna is an Arsenal fan. So how do you feel, Kumar, right now? Like at this moment?
At this moment right now. So I was trying to actually block out the game for the past 1.5 days. I'm actively trying not to think about it, but you know, I had to do it for you guys.
Oh, yes,
I
sure.
I had to bring back all of my suppressed memories.
So, this definitely has to be the game of the season, right?
Yeah, till now, definitely.
Or game of even last season. I don't even...
Well, last season was very boring, to be honest.
Yeah, Chelsea was just winning. No, or it may be. But then there's so many things to talk about in this game. I don't know where to start. Let's start with the obvious. David De Gea.
David De Gea was on another planet this game. He could not score past him.
So there's a theory that Arsenal should have got a penalty in the end.
Yeah.
Do you think De Gea would receive the penalty?
Most probably would have.
So there's no point really talking about
that.
Yeah,
and you know, when you have two defensive errors and you have 35 shots on goal and you don't score,
30,
you can't... 33, yeah.
Yeah, stop adding 2-2-1s.
No, the penalty would have been the 34th, right?
Oh, yes.
Then you can't really blame the loss on the ref's decision or the penalty. Yeah. That is pointless.
Yeah. So what is this whole theory that, you know, Arsenal actually played really well and lost? I'll tell you what actually surprised me is that Arsenal basically did not just like... They actually fought. For the first time, you could see that after going 2-0 down,
they're not going to a shell. They fought back. They were camped in the United half. But again, you know, if you don't score, if you don't finish. And there were some great chances. De Gea made, you know, great saves. But again, there were chances which on any other day you would expect players of this caliber to finish.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing about De Gea is that he is the world's best keeper along with Neuer. You would expect him to make most of the saves.
Yeah, it was not just about, you know, the saves. There was, you know, a lot of the times there was the ball was just bouncing around in the box. And there was no one to pounce on it. Yeah, it happened in a couple of instances. The shot which Xhaka plays just wide of the post. Arsenal players had chances of, you know, finishing it first.
Yeah.
Both of them missed. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start off with what happened. Why did they start so badly?
I don't know. It was just too casual, I think. You know, both of them were misplaced passes out of the defense. I've noticed that even in the last game, you know, against Huddersfield, when, you know, before the second half and when the floodgates opened, when the game was really tight, a lot of times you were seeing Koscielny come up to the half line and then try to make an incisive forward pass. Not something he's known for, not his skill set, not something your centre back should be shouldering the responsibility of.
But do you think the defence thought, okay, you know what, we are good enough, it really doesn't matter? Manchester United
I
is not going to press?
I think that is the point. I don't think Wenger or anyone from the team expected United to press right off the start. Because you see the other away games, you know, Jose has played.
That is actually not true. If you look at the Liverpool game, that's the only game he didn't. Even if you look at the first 15 minutes of the Chelsea game, Manu were in the box and they were doing shit. So, it is like...
I think Lingard was brilliant in the game. Like, from the start right till, you know, he was subbed off. Both of the... Yeah, it was his pressing which led to Koscielny's mispass. And then Mustafi, I don't know what he was doing. And, you know... To top it off, he got injured while playing that pass. I don't know how that happened.
Mustafi's strong foot is his right foot, right?
Yeah.
So he was trying to get the ball on his right foot before passing.
Yeah, and then he just scuffed it.
But what about Manchester United's pace on counter attacks?
Yeah, it was so fast, it was so quick. And there was, you know, movement all across. So Lingard was there, Martial, Pogba, all of them. And Arsenal had no cue. So for the first goal, you can see when Pogba has the ball on the edge of the box, four defenders are marking him.
And leaving Valence. But then that's what Pogba does. He attracts three or four people.
Yeah, but as, you know, a professional, you can't have four people marking the same man. When, you know, and if you do that when, you know, you're playing like United, you have 10 men behind the box, you put four people on a man.
Yeah.
There are only four defenders in the box. Four of them are on Pogba. Obviously, someone else is going to get the space too.
So there's this whole thing. Like, obviously, Mustafi had to be substituted and Iwobi came in.
Yeah.
That probably helped Arsenal, like, really attack even much better. Because if Mustafi had remained there, I mean, they wouldn't have attacked that
They wouldn't have. But then, I think...
And I think going down two goals forced them to like really attack.
Yeah, and more than that, I think it was United that United really sat back. More than you know Wenger's tactical genius of going all out attack. Because United were not pushing anyone beyond the halfway line.
No, but they were very clear. Once they got two goals, whenever they got a counter-attack opportunity,
there
were four
forward.
People who were rushing forward.
Yeah.
So it's not like they just sat back. They knew. They had left Lukaku and Martial right.
No, Marshall did really well defending, you know, a couple of times.
But when a lot of positions, they had Lingard or Marshall, one of them, and then Pogba, oh my god, dude, that
is another level, and I think he's starting to look like a bargain now. No, really, so single man midfield when he can drive, so Matic did really well, but, you know, most of his play was
in the box.
Around his own penalty area. You know, but beyond, you know, say, beyond one third of the pitch, Pogba was, you know, he was bullying Chaka, Ramsey for the third goal, he bullied Koscielny out of the ball.
That was unbelievable. Okay, quickly, Pogba red card, true or not?
Yeah, that was true. It was a clear stamp on the leg.
I feel actually kind of sad for him.
Yeah, I do, and it would have made for a great game.
I feel sad because... How many times have you seen people try to defend in like that position? Like, you know, have your leg in that 90 degree angle. It never happens. How on earth do you... I have never seen anyone like, you know, okay, let me just like do lunges and defend.
That's how they're coached at Arsenal.
Yeah, that is the only reason he got the red card.
Yeah,
I don't think it was intentional at all.
It wasn't intentional. It was not malicious. It just studs up.
Yeah.
So
it is dangerous play.
It is dangerous play.
But then if someone is lying down on the floor and you
can't step on it.
Yeah, it is called dangerous play. Ozil, he played quite well yesterday on Saturday.
Yeah, even against Spurs he was nice. And so, again, the thing is that the lack of finishing is what cost Arsenal the game. So a lot of the game also, so they were playing well. But the pace was not fast enough. The transition from mid to attack.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of sideways passing, which, you know, because I watch Arsenal all the time, observe in all of these games. They reach till, you know, the box, and then, you know, Ozil will pass it to Sanchez or Kolasinac, and then, you know, someone will try to make an overlapping run down the left.
But that's one thing I didn't see in the game. There was not many people doing that overlapping run.
That, because they went back to a four at the back instead of two wing backs.
Yeah, but still Kolasinac can make the run.
Yeah, Kolasinac, there was no space. You know, United had two banks of four and four. You can't make overlapping.
Yeah. So first thing is, in the first half, I think the greatest save, or the best save De Gea made in the first half, is actually not an Arsenal player save.
Yeah, from Lukaku.
It's from Lukaku. Lukaku does everything to avoid the ball. It still hits
his
leg.
It's like it is going in. De Gea does not expect Lukaku to make that contact.
Actually, that save looks so stupid in slow motion, thinking it's so easy. But in real time, that was like fantastic.
And then the second half, that save, the second save from
Sanchez.
The second
half starts, Arsenal scores. Sanchez makes this amazing... I think that was the first time United's defense like froze.
Froze, yeah.
They just didn't...
And I think everyone expected Ramsey was offside. Even Ramsey expected he was offside.
No, come on.
I don't think so.
Come on.
Even the commentators, you don't
But then commentators are the one who keeps talking like, let's separate the wheat from the chaff and all of that. So.
No, but you tell me, when you have a ball played through, you're one-on-one with the keeper.
He's not really one-on-one. Look at where he collected the ball. He probably knew...
He was right
in front of De Gea.
Yeah, he was right in front of De Gea.
Then what will he do? And he doesn't have the ability to do, like, just flick it on the top corner.
Not Zlatan.
Yeah, he's not Zlatan. So he had to pass it to Lacazette. And that's probably the only way he could have scored against
Yeah,
that day.
But that was, again, you know, that was, if it is intentional, that was really smart thinking on Ramsey's part.
I think
9 out of 10 players would have gone taken a shot on goal.
Yeah, I think that was quite intentional.
That was quite, yeah.
And after that comes the greatest save of the whole game.
I still have nightmares about that save. And how did that not go in?
First, a Lacazette shot.
Shoots.
Which,
you know,
fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's the save you expect De Gea to make.
Yeah.
You know, diving
I mean,
numbers, right?
You don't
strong
expect
hand.
Others to make, but it's the
you
save
expect
you expect
De Gea
to
make. Exactly.
But the follow up on it, to block Sanchez's shot with the leg.
Yeah, not his leg, his boot. He blocked it with his boot, man. That was
fantastic. And then everyone thought, okay, Arsenal's coming in. And then Matic, one pass, takes out eight guys.
Yeah,
Lukaku passes it to Lingard.
And when it is with Pogba, you expect only one result.
How many meters do you think Pogba takes in every stride?
I think he would probably jump from Manchester to, say, Liverpool in one stride.
What's with the long stride? I think he takes like a 3-meter stride.
Yeah.
He is going to be such a big miss on the weekend.
He's going to be.
There's one more player who was so influential. Before we get to that, Koscielny fouling Lukaku. Red card, yellow card?
I think yellow probably because...
You're an Arsenal fan.
No. So, going away from
you
goal...
You keep pulling a person and then you take the last frame.
No,
he's
not pulling. That was the last frame. He was not pulling the person.
Yeah. So, in the last frame, he was that after you kicked him.
No, Lukaku. That was Lukaku's touch because he's going wide. And
yeah,
Bellerin is across to cover.
What do you mean Bellerin is across to cover? He would have been clear on goal. Bellerin is running somewhere 30 meters on a parallel track.
Do you not remember last season Bellerin's block?
But then I did never remember Bellerin doing like a push-up or something to try and block Pogba. So you can't blame that.
Lance is not push-up.
Yeah. And then there was a penalty which definitely
Danny
Welbeck should have
get. Yeah, definitely was a penalty.
But
again,
before
we
get to some
would have been too late.
Before we get to some statistics on this game,
yeah.
I think the smartest player United have among other players is Ashley Young. He is
moment of brilliance. I don't think a lot of people noticed.
He had two moments of brilliance. One is that free kick,
yeah,
which he anticipates that ball is going to hit and he runs behind. I'm sure they've done practice that in training.
Was that United? Carrick did it, right?
Yeah, but
then they conceded because
Ashley Young runs.
Yeah, he runs after Ozil has already kicked the ball.
And then after that, what happens is when Pogba stamps on Bellerin.
Yeah, he runs to Mourinho to tell him that
he first goes to the referee and asks, "What are you going to do?" He said, "It's a red," and he doesn't even argue. He runs to Mourinho, tells him, "Dude, it's going to be a red. Tell us what to do." That is such presence of mind.
Yeah, that is such presence of mind in the heat of the moment. You don't like. Because everyone else would just argue with the ref. So, it's just pointless if the ref has made up his mind.
So, now all of you guys are like, almost like begging Mourinho to beat City on the weekend.
I would never beg Mourinho for anything.
To beat City?
Yeah, even City. I would much rather...
Is it because Arsenal has already lost the league?
Yes, that is... Arsenal is not in contention.
So, let's say Arsenal was 6 points behind City.
Then
you'll be like, come on, Mourinho.
Yeah.
Okay, some statistics on this game. The
33 shots on target, 15 saves. This is the highest ever.
Yeah, 14 saves. 14, 15,
yes.
No, 14, 15. 15, he would have been alone. 14, he's sharing with three people. Two people, Tim Krul and Vito Manone. But they started this whole expected goals versus goals scored thing.
4.9 to 1.9,
so,
right?
So this is the highest difference between expected goals and the goals scored. And expected goals is basically the clear-cut
chances. Yeah.
So Arsenal had 5 clear-cut chances on goal and they scored 1. I think United had 4 clear-cut chances.
No. So the XG was 2 for them in Opta stats.
1.9. They scored 3.
Yeah, one of them was not a clear-cut chance.
And this, what do you mean? Which one was not a clear-cut
chance? I don't know. You should ask the Opta guys. I'm just telling you this.
All the three goals were clear-cut chances.
There were clear-cut chances.
And Lingard's shot on...
That was a shot... So, you're talking about shots on target.
No, but Lingard... That was the only save Petacek made in the game.
Yeah.
How bad would Petacek be feeling? Like, he's like,
4 shots, 3 goals.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, you have 33 shots in 1 goal.
So... Do you think Arsenal will be like so deflated after this game that they will take like a week or two to just recover from what just happened?
I don't think so. I think that is what you would expect normally when the team went 2-0 down at 10 after 10 minutes. You would expect the deflation to come during the match itself.
Yeah.
But so I'm very optimistic that since that did not happen and they put up a fight, so going forward, I would hope that this team comes out of the tunnel in the next game.
This was such a great game. Everyone felt so sad. At the end, like the United fans were so sad that Pogba is gone, he can't play against City. And Arsenal fans were like, what do we do?
Yeah. How do you score?
They ended with Giroud, Welbeck, Sanchez, Ozil.
Lacazette got subbed off.
These four, who else was there? Kolasinac was somewhere, I don't know. He was always there in the end.
Yeah.
Ramsey was
running.
But again,
around. I think that was not really smart thinking. You don't you know, pile on so many forwards.
Yeah.
With Lacazette, there was a point when Lacazette and Giroud were both on.
Probably you're right, because let's say 2-1.
Yeah.
Is there a need to, like, you know, go so gung-ho at 2-1?
It's not, because they were already playing well at 2-1, yeah, with the team you already had.
Or probably they thought, you know, De Gea is in such form, the only way.
No,
but then they were so open.
But then, they were so open in the back. And then also, when you have so many strikers on the field, there is a lot of confusion. Who do you pass to? Does Ozil play?
Actually, after the red card, other than the penalty,
there was no other clear-cut chance. That is because there were too many strikers on the field.
But more than that, I think Mourinho basically moved Lingard and he put Ashley Young. That guy is so smart, man. It's such. He's made that left-back position or left-wing-back position, whatever, on his own. What's going to happen on the weekend now without Pogba?
I think with the way City is playing. And, you know, so there was one thing where you expect City to blow away a game. But the past three games, they've not done that. They've, you know, fought and, you know, gotten a late goal.
Yeah.
They went down again against West Ham. They were 1-0 down and then again recovered.
So, talking about City's 2-1 win, I mean, this was the third game. At least this time, they scored in the 83rd minute.
Yeah, not in the 87th.
But then, De Bruyne's pass to David Silva was genius. That he has the most assists in Premier League since he joined Manchester City in September.
Ozil has the most assists in the Premier League since he joined Arsenal. I think this is sad for...
You know who has the second most assists in the Premier League after De Bruyne joined Man City?
Fabregas.
No, Ozil. 32. Why do you guys keep piling on that guy?
I don't like.
You don't like?
No, I don't pile on him.
Alright, so that is it. That's about that game. But what a game, man. It actually took one day to process what all happened. I think we've just missed at least half the things that have happened in that game. What happened to Mustafi? Do you have any idea?
Wenger came out and said he had no clue. Probably a muscle injury.
And Lacazette, what Wenger tried to pull a fast one. This was such a fast one he tried to pull.
I know.
It was amazing. It's like, and you know, he's tried to pull a fast one and Mourinho's pissed off because he's mentioned it
twice. Yeah.
Just before the game, after the game, and in the press conference.
Yeah, in the press conference also.
And he's like, you know, he's congratulating Arsenal medical staff from a no to a yes. Wenger is such a badass sometimes.
Sometimes. I would like him to be a badass more often, but yeah.
Alright, so that's about that game. What do we talk about then?
I think the wheels are coming off at Huddersfield. Probably.
Huddersfield or Swansea?
Swansea's already...
Yeah, what? Did you hear Swansea, first of all, they lost the game.
Yeah.
So, Swansea lost to, if I'm not, Stoke, 2-1.
After taking a lead.
Yeah. And then, I think, Shaqiri scores and Diouf scores. And the post-match press conference with Paul Clement was like, he was like, we are there because we deserve it. He didn't sugarcoat it anyway, like how David Moyes would have done. Or Slaven Bilic would have done, or anything. He just, or Roberto Martinez is the worst at it.
Yeah.
It's like if Everton lose final, he will come back and say we had great chances and all of it. But is there any hope at Swansea?
No, the way they're playing, I think the big move that they were banking on this
is Tony Pulis leaving West Brom.
Now that
has happened.
No, like in terms of players also, you know, Tammy Abraham has a 70% contribution to all Swansea goals. That is an incredible start.
Yeah, and Renato Sanchez hasn't really worked
out. That's what I'm saying. The biggest move that they made in the summer, Renato Sanchez is not...
That was a loan move. They really didn't buy anyone.
It's flopped. He looks clueless on the pitch, man, to be honest.
Oh, did you see what he did against...
the last game when he passed.
That was sad, actually. You really don't want...
Yeah.
Anyone to... Actually, you want them to misplace a pass, but not pass it to a holding, right? That just shows just complete sadness. Everton... What do we say about Everton? Everton suddenly beat Huddersfield 2-0.
The Sam effect.
And then they are 10th in the table now.
So, I don't know how.
Because the difference, my dear friend, if you see the difference between Tottenham and Man City and Tottenham and the bottom, the difference is much lower than the Man City one. So even if you win two games in a row, there is a massive chance you will be in the 10th or the 9th position.
And then again, like, talking about that, what has happened to Tottenham?
Yes,
since that Madrid game.
I think that high because of that high of the Madrid game, actually, coming back to the Man U one, it's actually good they're playing the Moscow team in between.
Yeah.
Because even if they like falter for the first 15-20 minutes, you know Mourinho is like going to like abuse them, and they won't be. Because it's such a high winning this way that against City they would have basically like...
Yeah.
And like City will like just
City
screw
will
their...
City will destroy them if you're too casual against them.
Exactly. So, coming back to Everton, David Unsworth leaves 4-0, Rooney hat-trick, everything. Sam Allardyce first game, 2-0. They win 2-0 and they're 10th. So, Sam Allardyce really doesn't have to worry about relegation.
Yeah.
This is like the best job he's ever had, ever in his life.
Yeah.
He has money now. He has a team which is suddenly 10th in the league. And he's like been given a 2.5 year contract. If he screws this up, he can't really go back to BN Sports every time he loses a job. And within 3 weeks of giving that interview, he'll get a job.
Yeah.
He can't. This is his moment.
Yeah, I think this is also the biggest club he's managed.
West Ham he did manage, but then they got relegated and he brought them back. But in terms of money, right now, this is the biggest club he's managed. Yeah, so he can't fuck this up really. It's only for himself. Watford Tottenham. I mean, let's talk before we come to Liverpool. Watford Tottenham. Watford are like pretty awesome.
Yeah,
they scored one.
What, seventh. Watford is seventh and Burnley is eighth.
But the question is now Tottenham. What happened to them? Is it fatigue now?
I think it is fatigue. Yes, and you know, both of the stars are not performing. You know, Kane and Dele both.
But more than that, I think Tottenham basically, if you look at their bench. Who is in their bench?
Lamela is back now.
Lamela is back now from injury, so it'll take like at least 2-3 weeks. Llorente hasn't scored any goals. So even if that first 11 doesn't play, Tottenham has nothing. Their squad strength is now showing because you can't rest anyone, and Dele Alli is so completely out of form.
Yeah, and Eriksen is still out of form. He's not recovered yet. So just have Son who's.
He scored.
Yeah, but that was his first contribution since the first game, I think. First assist or goal.
Yeah. And then Liverpool quietly marching along against Brighton. 5-1. It really didn't look like 5-1. When Liverpool were leading, they were leading. First of all, Liverpool were leading 1-0. And then Glenn Murray missed, like, Mignolet does a De Gea now.
Yeah.
And then they score opposite 2-0. So then you thought, okay, fine. Then it becomes 3-0 and then Liverpool are at it. You think Liverpool again, like every year, they'll be like, you know, screw the defense. We'll just attack and we'll see where we get.
Again, but you can win against Brighton with that approach. But when you face a United or a City or a Chelsea, you can't go with, you know, screw Lauren at the back. We don't care. We'll just outscore them. You can't outscore City right now.
Who are you talking about?
Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
So, like you said, you know, all out of...
Yeah, but you can outscore like at least 14 teams, right?
Yeah.
So, that's not bad. And Chelsea 3-1. The whole weekend started with Chelsea 3-1 and Hazard again.
Hazard is back again, yeah.
Is it good news for Chelsea or bad news for England?
So, I know, if you want to touch on the World Cup draws...
I don't want to touch on the draws. I just want to talk about... Belgium, Hazard and bad news for England.
No, it's not bad news for England.
Really?
One game.
Kevin De Bruyne?
No, so again, even without Hazard being in form, Belgium has a strong enough team on paper to beat.
And they have actually have a manager.
Yeah, to beat England any day of the week.
New manager, Mr. Alain Pardew, draws 0-0 with Crystal Palace. I think, but the good thing for Crystal Palace is I think Benteke is like now coming back into some sort of...
Yeah, and then Zaha is again, you can see flickers of form there as well.
So, let's go through the table. Let's start with bottom three. Oh, Crystal Palace actually moved out of the bottom three over the weekend.
And West Ham has replaced them.
And Swansea has replaced them. Not West Ham.
This is still bottom three.
It feels... Yeah. Dude, we have to talk about West Ham. They didn't crumble.
Yeah, they didn't. And they played well also. Like
I made Aguero my fantasy team captain and put Sterling thinking it'll be a 5-0. And at least they'll score like 2 goals and I'll get like 30 points overall. David Moyes found the right moment to screw me over.
Yeah, that too at the Etihad.
Yeah. So let's see. West Brom changed manager. Crystal Palace changed manager. West Ham changed manager. Yeah, so Crystal Palace are 3 points behind West Brom. But Swansea City, as of now, looks like a gone case, really.
But you don't see the change coming from anywhere.
How do they improve this?
It's not about more than improvement, even if they like become 5 or 6 points behind. But you can't say they've been like last few years this miracle. If they get Tony Pulis, which I think they will, it's just going to be so annoying. But I think Tony Pulis will come to Swansea, and then that's going to be. And then
he'll do his.
Yeah. So I was talking about the difference, right? So here, Tottenham is on 25, Swansea is on 9. So the difference is 16. And Man City is on 43 and Tottenham is on 25. The difference is 18. So basically it's Man City running away and United basically like...
No, but you know now, with if United win the next week...
Hmm. And Swansea win the next week. And
no,
Tottenham lose.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, that brings the point difference down to...
5.
What? 5. 5 is still a manageable difference.
Even 8 is actually manageable.
Yeah.
Because only 14...
But, you know, now you know the importance of those Sterling goals.
Yeah.
Because everyone thought City were running away with the league. But, you know, Sterling does not score that in those two games. That is 4 points lost.
You really need to... It's so hard. I mean, I calculated. United are on course to be a 90-point season.
And still not win.
Not win? Lose by a mile. That is how good City have been.
This is insane,
man. Oh, before we go, because we didn't do one on the midweek, what do you think about Pep Guardiola's friendly chat with Nathan Redmond?
I think that was made too much of by the media.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Arsene Wenger would like if Guardiola started shouting at Koscielny or someone like that?
He's not shouting at him during the match. That was after the game, right?
So Arsene Wenger would be okay if Jose Mourinho shouts at Koscielny?
Yeah.
Please, come on.
No, I don't think...
manager would like that.
I don't see the problem in that.
Of course,
and
you don't see the problem.
And that is what Nathan Redmond has come out and clarified as well.
Yeah, so Nathan Redmond doesn't... I'm talking about, do you think an opposition manager would really like it if...
No, but Did Guardiola shout or did he say something?
Why is Guardiola telling the opposition player, you should attack more? Who the fuck is he to say anything?
That is a personal development for the player, right? Why can't Pep Guardiola... So, you know, when Ferguson was there, do you think Ferguson never spoke to any of the players?
He did, but he didn't talk it like that.
How do you know? Because the media did not make much out of it.
Because he was not screaming like a madman at an opposition player.
I think this is fine. It's just two people talking. What's...
So, Mr. Kunal,
yeah.
let's look at you doing the same. Or supporting Mourinho when he does the same to the other players.
Yeah, I have no problems with Mourinho doing it. And talking to people is the least of my worries with Mourinho. It would be more concerning, you know, when managers go and gouge out the eyes of other people.
Man, you remember all the dialogues.
I know. I come prepared.
Okay, quickly in one line. The Manchester derby. What's going to happen?
I think City is going to win it.
Nick it by one goal.
It's not going to be more than, you know, 3 goals in the match. So either 1-0 or 2-1. That is my prediction. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, man.
That's why you have to make a prediction. You're a pundit now.
Man U is going to win.
And do you think United will concede?
Man U will win 3-1.
Oh, that is a strong prediction.
Yeah.
Remember that the next week we meet.
Yeah, sure. Let me put it out there. Man U is going to win 3-1.
I say City 2-1.
And
the loser has to buy the other a beer.
Yeah, and because Baru is not here, let's just say Baru says a 0-0 draw.
Baru says Rajasthan with Shadi.
So if it's... So Baru basically has to buy something.
Yeah, because he's not been there.
Exactly. Okay, anyway, chalo, that's it for this week, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.